Father God, we pray that this morning we may know and understand more what it means to know you. Amen. Our reading from Thessalonians.
I'm on mute. Sorry about that. Can you all hear me now? Better. Thankfully, I have a voice that reasonably projects without the mute. But so, the thief will come like a thief in the night. With my guiding as a child and my Cub Scout leading as an adult, I couldn't help but remember the two words. Well, anybody can help me, other than Kelly, who I checked something out with in the car park on Friday, what those two words might be. Yeah, apparently they don't use it in guiding any longer. And that, I found it in the Maltese Guide website. Yeah, be prepared. So be prepared for Jesus coming. Now, today, we're remembering those who've lost their lives during the war. And this escaped me until yesterday. How it escaped me, I don't know. We're also sadly remembering 100 years from the Somme. Now, think about yourself. I'm going to try and get you to picture this. In World War I, they had trench warfare. So the soldiers would be low down in a trench, one facing the other, with a huge bit of what was known as no man's land in between. And the soldiers would be having to be prepared either to respond to their commanding officer or for whatever the enemy was going to throw at them, machine gun fires, bombs, you name it, they were going to throw it at them. And then there was the sentry. The sentry would stand a little bit further up because actually when they started firing at one another, there was something called a fire step. So they'd get on the fire step. So some poor soul would be the sentry about 2 hours at a time. And they would be watching out for what the enemy was doing, waiting possibly to tell the commanding officer what they could see in the distance. Now, it might sound very difficult to do this, but clearly some people must have done it, unfortunately. Do not fall to sleep on sentry duty. Has anybody any idea what happened to those soldiers that, bless their cotton socks, fell to sleep on sentry duty? Sue? Yeah, they were executed. They were not prepared. They were letting the side down. And so they were killed. In World War I, unfortunately, a lot of soldiers lost their lives, not from the opposition, but because they were seen as weak or they'd fallen to sleep. And going back to our reading, Paul is encouraging us to be prepared for Jesus' return. My question to you this morning is, are you prepared? I've got three questions for you. One, have you ever said yes to Jesus? Yes, Jesus, you are what I need. Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you ready to tell others what Jesus has done for you? Now, what has Jesus done for us? God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross and rise again so that we may have eternal life. Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. The soldiers in the trenches had little choice to be there, as most men were conscripted during World War I. And others joined things called the Pals Brigade, thinking they were being brave even when they were too young and pretending they were older. I heard bits of the television programme last night, and there was a letter written to a 16-year-old brother, please come back, you don't need to be there. He never got that letter. It was returned to his sister, killed in action. But Jesus himself made a choice to come and be with us. He wasn't conscripted. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, expresses how Jesus was in the form of God, but he opted to take on the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus didn't die on the cross because he had done anything wrong, but so that we might be forgiven and reunited with God. What does it mean to be the Good Shepherd? Shepherds cared day and night for their sheep. Now, sheep are very good at wandering. Shepherd wants me there, but I think I'll go here. I was actually on a walking holiday, and we'd been taken up this road which led to a campsite, and there was a little stream running along it and a very narrow footbridge. And we could hear a farmer in the distance came running over the footbridge and said, "I'm going to be coming down that road over there in a minute. Could you possibly block the way to the campsite?" Now, if you've ever done this, I'd done it with cows many years ago. And these were sheep, so obviously they're going to be a bit easier. You just stand in a long row. But actually, there was a road there and there was a road here. And the field was down there. The dog and came down the road, as did the farmer on his little machine trying to shoo the sheep into the field. It was clear that the sheep knew where they were supposed to be going, at least some of them did, so it was obviously a move from one bit of pasture to the other, because some of them, very obedient, went down the road and into the field. Others looked at where we were and went, "No, no. Oh, there's a road over there. We could go up there." Thankfully for the farmer, and I don't know if this was just coincidence, somebody else he'd stopped or somebody he'd planned, there was a 4x4 in the way. So the sheep had to be forced back down and they went to their pasture land. Now I ask, are you like the sheep who fancied going wandering off for a bit of an adventure? I know, you've been distracted in your focus on Jesus. Or were you like the sheep who knew where the pasture land was and actually went and found it? We, like the sheep, can find things in life that can distract us. It's easy at times to wander than to persevere. And God, at times, it may appear to just be easier, the easier choice, especially if life seems tough. Now, when I find things tough, I find Paul's words to the Romans encouraging. We know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So why can we be so sure of our hope? Because our hope is in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who died on the cross so that we could live life to the full. The Good Shepherd and not the hired hand. In Jesus' days, there were loads of sheep. And they weren't in nice little fields. Now, occasionally we may find sheep on moors and things, and the danger is they just might be daft enough to wander on the road when a car's coming by. But there were lots of dangerous things out there. So, there was the shepherd and there was a hired hand. Now, the hired hand, if it saw something really fierce coming towards them, just might be very tempted to say, "Goodbye, sheep. I'm wandering off that way, I'm going to leave you to it." The shepherd, and bear in mind, is the shepherd his sheep? He can't risk losing his sheep. So he will stay with them through thick and thin. And that's what Jesus is saying. He is this good shepherd. Now, the good shepherd did the greatest thing he could ever do, and that was die on the cross. Think of the time he spent on the cross. It would have been very painful and humiliating. But Jesus chose to become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Today, Jesus is calling us to follow him. Are you ready to respond, "Yes, I will go where you lead"? If you've never said yes to Jesus and would like to find out more what it means to say yes, please speak to Nick or myself after the service. and we can point you in the right direction. If you have said yes, how can we be sure we are following the Good Shepherd and going where he is leading? First, Jesus knows his sheep who are already in the pen and those who would join them. A shepherd would gently guide his sheep as Jesus gently guides us. The shepherd would get to know their shepherd's voice and would only follow him. If somebody else was to call them, they wouldn't respond. And that is what Jesus is calling us to do today, to hear his voice and follow. How can we hear his voice? Just to warn you, Nathan, I will be shortly asking for the first picture. How can we hear the voice? We spend time in prayer, reading the Bible, in coming to church, house groups, or going on quiet days. One way that I find helps me hear what Jesus is saying is to go for a walk. At home, we can be so tempted by the TV, or let's just look at the next email that comes in. Okay, we can carry email with us on our smartphones. We've even got this means of a lot of the phones where as soon as email comes in, it can appear on your screen. I used to get emails from Nick, don't read your emails on your day off. Well, I wasn't actually reading them, but they were coming up on my screen. I've now, a couple of weeks ago, decided to switch that facility off permanent. Okay, so we can carry our smartphones with us. Put them in your rucksack, put them in your pocket, hide them away. Or, if you can really cope without your phone, leave it at home. Go out and listen. I invite you to do that later. Out there, listen. Or even look at the trees and the different colours of the leaves out there. God can speak to you through his creation. Creation itself may remind you of verses of scripture. And invite you to stop and listen. When out, what can you see or hear around you that might help you with what God is saying to you at that point? Or, you know, you could equally do the same thing indoors if it's hard for you to get out. Right, picture number one. A number of us were recently on a retreat at Ascot Priory. And at different times we were seen pondering on the wonders of God's creation through what is, apparently according to two horticulturalists in this church, a liquid amber tree. As you can see, it's different colours. Hopefully you can. It was green at the bottom, going red. And that's apparently what a liquid amber tree does. I called it the traffic light tree. Because it seemed to be different red, amber, and green, red, amber, and red. So, during the day, I saw a number of people stopping and looking at this tree. Alison reflected to us that it reminded her of the words of love divine, changing from glory to glory. And she was later reminded by Tony of 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Could I have picture number two? God's scenery, I find, can be very encouraging. And this is a picture I took in Derbyshire. It was when I was looking at the picture later that I was reminded of Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Or you may, as you're walking, be blessed with God giving you a picture. How can you be sure the picture is from God? Well, first of all, does it tie in with scripture? Because if it doesn't and it's way off beam, you can be sure it's not from God. Is it something God would be likely to say to you? Now, I appreciate that some of you are much more picturally focused than others, and others find words useful. I'm probably sort of like in the middle. Because I find that God particularly speaks to me in pictures when I really need his encouragement because something's really difficult. And actually, it was when I was on the quiet day, I was wandering. And partly visually, but a lot of it was actually words, descriptive, rather than seeing a full-blown picture in front of me. I felt God saying, look, you feel like the way in front of you is totally and utterly blocked. You can't see the next step. Actually, what you're missing is my hand is holding you. It was felt like a bit of an avalanche. My hand is going through this and it's pulling you through it. But what you're failing to do is see that. See my hand pulling you along the way. So that's another way that God speaks to us. So, as asked earlier, are you ready for the day Jesus returns? How does what I have been saying link in to that question? The answer is keeping your focus on Jesus at all times and not being tempted to wander off. Think again of the sentry I spoke of in World War I. Their role was to keep focused on what the enemy was doing and be ready to warn their fellow soldiers. Are you ready to warn others? That sounds a bit heavy, so let's put it another way. Are you ready to tell others of Jesus' great love for us? That he humbled himself all the way to the cross so that we might be forgiven and be reunited with God, knowing that in the good times, as well as the hard times, God is there to lead us. I return to my three questions. Do you know Jesus? And do you trust and follow him? Are you ready for the day Jesus returns? Are you, like the sentry, ready to tell others? This time, not of bad news, but of the greatest news there has ever been, that God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross and rise again so that we may have eternal life. Let us pray now and thank God that Jesus gave everything so that we might have life. Father God, little did we deserve Jesus to come and take on humanity. He came not in the form of God, but in the form of humanity, all the way to die on the cross, that painful death, his hands nailed, people staring at him, crown of thorns on his head. And then he died, a most painful death. Lord, we didn't deserve that. We confess that sometimes we are like the sheep that wander off your pathway. Help us to trust you. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to trust you, to help us to hear your voice. And for anybody today who's never said yes, just give you the opportunity to say yes quietly in your heart. Yes, Jesus, I love you. I want you for my future and my life. And thank you for all that you have done for me. Lord God, be with us, walk with us, guide us. And we thank you that you do, Lord. Amen.